SummerSlam weekend on ESPN. Remember when they said if you're a YouTube user, you're going to be able to watch the wrestling on ESPN?
Vaguely, yes.
Yeah, still can't. Got to be honest, you might be able to, and I just haven't tried. I wanted him. Well, I guess we would have. The show started with KC saying SummerSlam's this weekend. Like, oh man, really? Of course, every time we look up at the TV and it's not a baseball game on, there's a SummerSlam promo.
That's facts. If you can, will you peek in on SummerSlam? This is the biggest WrestleMania. This is not looking. Even if you don't know what's going on, it's still SummerSlam.
If I don't know what's going on, it's Cody and CM Punk and Roman and Seth. Those stories are as old as time. Like, I'll know exactly what's going on. Like, Roman and Seth again?
It's been said that wrestling is just the male soap opera.
Correct.
And with soap operas, like Young and the Restless, I haven't watched Young and the Restless in probably 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. If I turn it on tomorrow, it'll take me 5 to 7 minutes to kind of figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling is actually kind of turning into a soap opera. If you watch Raw tonight, oh, yeah, Roman and Seth, they've got an issue right now. Okay. Simple. Simple. The male soap opera
they
is coming
have
on
it on a. They have an issue. Still. All these years later.
I still haven't seen the promo, too. I meant to watch that last night. I want to see it. The damn thing about to be over.
You ain't gonna like the promo. The promo hit a little too close to home for old number
crazy
two
about
there.
My boy Seth, man, come on now.
It's all fun and games until the promo hits a little too close to home.
Those are my two favorite, Seth and Roman.
Really? Yeah. Well, I know Roman is for sure.
Seth's my boy. Like him better than the two of my least favorite are in the other main event.
Punk and Cody. You had a brief babyface turn on Punk.
No, Punk is him.
What's He's funny him. Is our good friend hates CM Punk.
I didn't know that.
Hates, oh my God. If there is anything Punk does, gets sent to me so I see it. Good, bad, it will be framed as bad. Like, he does not like that man.
I didn't
whatsoever. I think he thinks he's fake. Like, he's kind of turned into all of the things that he used to bitch and complain about. Mm-hmm. And what it really is our friend hates the WWE.
Well, that is
he
that
very
like
strongly
that.
He doesn't like used to love Cody. There was never a big. I'm talking like AEW Cody, independent Cody, yeah. Japan. That Cody loved him. The second he came back, this guy sucks. And the truth is, like, a lot of the reasons that he hates him are valid. Like, I always wonder what would it have been like to be 40 years old watching Hulk Hogan in 1988? Would you have been like, oh God, why can't Bam Bam Bigelow beat him? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is it the same thing? Like, oh, you know who's a great worker is B. Brian Blair from the Killer Bees. Him and the Dynamite Kid. Those are great workers right there. Put the belt on them. Like, wrestling fans watch to hate wrestling. Like, that's what they do.
That's
like, they
it
watch it to hate it.
Complain about
point.
What they didn't do.
What we do, we just don't watch it and we complain about
it. That's it. I ain't watched it in a minute. I might
complain.
Try to think what my weekend's looking like.
My week. My weekend's pretty clear.
Yeah, I might tap in.
Today, my week is insane. My weekend, but I can't. I don't have access to it.
So thing.
I have
even
to
if you
use your
to,
password.
You
yeah,
I might tap in. I don't know.
You're going to tap in with the Sacramento Kings at 21.5 wins from DraftKings.
Give me the over, man.
So I guess you're taking the over from FanDuel because they had them at 20.5.
Oh yeah, that's where I'm going.
We got 20.5 and 21.
Who's ain't winning 20 games, man? Stop. They're not only winning 20 games. Stop. Just come on, man.
No, go ahead. Bury yourself. You dying on this hill alone, pal.
20 games. Give me the over. Give me the over, bro. Give
it's 20.5.
Yeah, I give me the over. They'll win 21. 121. Let me look at some of the standings.
It's crazy to think like it could. I asked James this earlier. Let me ask you, what is the best case scenario for this team? Now, mind you, I'm not talking about wins. Mm-hmm. What is the scenario that this fan base, that the season ends and we're here and this fan base was like, yeah, that was all right. Like I feel good about this.
When some wins are slightly involved, so I'd say 28 win season. Darius Acuff, a true rookie of the year contender.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If he wins it,
I think that's a big, right? Yeah.
And
got to be one of the second year players.
Yeah, I was gonna say if Max continues,
it's probably Max.
Is.
Yeah.
If Neat,
Max can't be what he Max. I don't know that Max is a starter. Max is an NBA. I believe that Maxime Renault, and it's second round pick. Like I believe he's an NBA player. Mm-hmm. If Max can do something to solidify himself as a starter, like oh, he's a real player in this league. He's a. I know he's not the most popular. He's an Alfredson Goon type. Like he you know, at the highest level, he could be an all-star, but otherwise he just could be a really good player.
Yeah.
If he could establish himself anywhere near that or anywhere beyond that trajectory, along with what you said about Darius, which I do think is really important because I think the fans need something to make you feel like, okay, Scott's got this. Mm-hmm. I think there's a certain unsureness because there's still so much Vivek on this team, right? With DeMar and the DeMar situation been taken care of, but the money hasn't. Zach and I don't necessarily think Sabonis falls into that, which is why I always think you can make that one work. But if you're able to land, I mean, and Max, I guess, is a part of that, too. That's the Scott Perry guy. Mm-hmm. But if Max continues to emerge and Darius is, you know, the rookie of the year candidate you laid out right there, I think that'll give fans a certain positive feeling about Scott Perry, which will give them a more positive feeling about this team moving forward.
I'll give you another one. If Keegan Murray plays well. What I mean by that, probably a little bit more than playing well.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, he averaged 14 points per game. Only played 23 games, but averaged 14 points per game, 5.7 points. His career high was in year two, where he averaged 15.2 points per game, 5.5 rebounds. If Keegan could average 17.5, 6 rebounds, gets his 3-point percentage back up to 36%.
Oh, he's flirting with that sharpshooter.
He is flirting.
He's flirting with it. What's up, girl? I see you. He's flirting with it.
If he could do that,
yeah.
Combined with the other things we talked about, and even if they only have 28 wins, I think that'll get people saying, all right, we got some things that we can build on. We're going to go get Tyron Stokes in this next draft because we're awful, and then we can build on that.
Not so awful that we're in the relegation zone, enough to where we'll get the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Terrific. Terrific.
Or those guys from UCLA. Although, like we talked about last week, they might have to stay for 2 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, as I was looking at it, they signed contracts. They signed guaranteed contracts.
Can't even get in the draft.
Multi-year deals. Goodness gracious.
But something centered. Darius is a must. Like, Darius has to be
top flight. The biggest, again, this is not about win total. The biggest vibe setter will be Darius Acuff.
Yeah.
If he plays well and he, you know, is constantly referenced as one of the top rookies in the league, mm-hmm. I think fans will feel really good. Again, you want some wins to come with that, but yeah, I think the fan base will feel much more positive if he's having that type of season.
Do you remember how the fan base felt when Tyreek Evans was doing his thing his rookie year?
Vaguely.
Because I wasn't even here, so I don't really know.
A fan, not media. And just as a fan, it was like, oh, like, cool. Mm. I don't recall I don't recall there believing like, oh, we're on this, like, okay, all right, I could see what we're doing. I think it was just like, yo, we might have landed a hooper. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was, and it didn't last long. Mm. Great year, but
25-5, and you got DeMarcus Cousins the next year.
Mm-hmm. I remember there being, it's funny enough, like, I remember there being more buzz about DeMarcus than Tyreek after that rookie year. Mm. I think there was a certain belief that, yo, this kid is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you start hearing all sorts of different things and whatever, but it just never materialized. Like, it never felt like it got moving. Mm-hmm. A season this year, and this is, I think, where the Maxime Raynaud thing is important, because I do believe that Darius is the most important part, but Maxime Raynaud, this would be season number two, and I'm picking Max because I feel like of Cardwell and Neek, the second-year guys, I feel like he's the one who probably has the most upside, or is at least shown the best chance of having the most upside. If he's able to do something next year that takes the steps, it's like, no, okay, like we've got a front office who can draft.
Right.
Like, we might be able to do what some of these other teams have done and build through the draft. And then, you know, you start, you know, we have our full complement of draft picks, and, you know, we have some solid young players now. All of a sudden, like, maybe I understand why they did the Domas for Tyrese deal. Like, I'll always understand it. Like, we can judge it in hindsight. You know, it was certainly judged at the moment because people thought very, very highly, and rightfully so, of Tyrese Halliburton. But in the moment, like, I understood why they did it. Mm-hmm. He was a very talented young player that allowed them to add a very good player who balanced this roster out more than he did.
Yeah.
And to a degree, it worked. But I understand why they did it. You continue to draft like that, you put yourself in that position to do something like that again. Mm-hmm. Now, hopefully it doesn't yield those types of results for the other team, and those results come your way instead. But that's the value of having great young players on your team.
How many drafts do you think that would take, including this one? This was, I would consider this the first one. No disrespect to Maxime Raynaud. But like you said, I don't know if he's a starter.
Yeah, I mean, and he got in to get Neek at the end of last year's draft, too.
I would say,
are you saying it's Scott's first draft?
Just the first draft that would yield you Tyrese Halliburton-level players that you can move if you need to. And I would say this is the first one. My first thought, it was maybe it would take you three drafts like that. To land Acuff level prospects, Halliburton level prospects,
sure,
to be able to, I mean, if it works out where all three of them are just here, like, that's great. But maybe, you know, one of those guys, you say, hey, we can move on from this guy and go land an all-star like they did DeMontis Sabonis.
Drafts. I'd say so are you, and you're saying this one's the first.
This is the first.
I understand why. Remind people that, like, Scott didn't have a pick last year. Mm-hmm. He moved in to get that pick, much to Kenny's chagrin. When Jake Fisher was telling us, the Kings are going to get in the draft, the Kings are going to get in the draft. Casey said, who the hell told Jake Fisher the Kings are getting in the draft? And then
literally 5 minutes later,
Kings get into the draft and take Neek Clifford near the end of the first round. And then, of course, Maxime Raynaud, Dylan Cardwell being an undrafted free agent. I'll go 2-3. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels like it'd be crazy to say, oh, they could do it next year. Mm. You probably need a bigger complement of players, assuming they don't add extra first-round picks next year. I'd say three's probably more comfortable, but I'd say 2-3. Tyrese was traded in his second season, right? Or was it his first? Was it his third?
Was his third season. Oh, in the middle of his second.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Hmm. Man, that was quick.
It was.
Middle of the second. It's crazy. And I think at the time we had been on air and we were talking. We were like, nah, they're not trading Tyrese.
Oh, I remember. They're not trading Tyrese Halliburton. Yeah, I think that was my response. I can't believe they effing did it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe they did it. I always remember texts that I get from people around basketball when those types of things happen. And one of them I distinctly remember was, what are you doing? As if I did it. As if like I made the call to trade Tyrese Halliburton. I always remember those types of guy. Got one of those with Mike. I got a lot of those with De'Aaron.
Wow.
Most of those weren't, what are you doing though?
I was in favor.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was in favor of, if you were going to move on from one of them, you move on from Tyrese and you keep De'Aaron. I thought De'Aaron was the better, more talented
player. I felt
player.
Like I purposely ignored De'Aaron's flaws and blamed the organization. Mm. And I felt vindicated. And I think anyone who felt that way, because I think a lot of people ignored De'Aaron's flaws, felt vindicated in that the Beam Team year with I'm effing nice and the walk-offs and the Busby, all of that stuff. Like, I think we all felt vindicated in that. And then didn't, like, you know, and it's just like, oh, no, that wasn't the coming out party. That was the anomaly.
Yeah.
Like, he's never done anything like that again. He didn't do it this year for San Antonio. He never did it again for Sacramento. Right now, that season, those moments, that's the outlier.
Yeah.
And I wanted to believe that it was like a growing period, like all of this stuff. And I saw everything people talked about with Tyrese. Like, everybody saw it. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I thought De'Aaron was better.
Mm-hmm.
And I still can't make heads or tails of whether I can't make heads or tails as to who, if the Kings wanted to trade De'Aaron Fox that year or not. Mm-hmm. I truly can't. Because when you talk about, remember, you remind yourself to that front office. Tyrese Halliburton absolutely feels like a Monty McNair player. Mm-hmm. Like 10 out of 10, every metric, every nerd formula you want to use, like Tyrese fits that beautifully. De'Aaron, I don't feel like does, but I think he checks a lot of, but I don't feel like he does.
Yeah.
But you had that contract there that Monty signed him to. And I still, to this day, I've been told everything. You have too. Mm-hmm. I still have no clue.
I don't know. De'Aaron Fox, we
you should have asked your boy when you talked to him in summer league.
Should have asked. I'm gonna have a sit down with.
Have a sit down with Monty McNair.
De'Aaron Fox, very very frustrating and leaves a lot on the table. It feels like here in Sacramento, even in San Antonio, in the NBA Finals, he's been turned into a meme. All this other stuff. He
did it on the World Cup stage, according
World
to some.
Cup. Oh man, that's tough.
According to some, De'Aaron blew the World Cup. He lost to Argentina four straight matches.
He loses to
everybody.
2020-2021, 25 points a night,
man.
23 the next year, 25 the year they made the playoffs, Beam Team 1 year, 26-6 the following year.
Mm-hmm. He was averaging 30 points per game the first three months of the season.
Mm-hmm.
2 to 3 months of the season.
Yeah, he was going crazy. It's just, it is.
But what is that?
That's what I was about to say. To have that level of production and still have people feel like there's something missing.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. I'm not even saying the people are wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. Like, I feel like something's missing too, but that production is crazy.
But don't you watch him? I feel like you just said this. Don't you watch him feeling like you have more?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll never not say absolutely. The line, De'Aaron doesn't know how good he is. Like, yeah. I'll never, or he either doesn't know how good he is or he doesn't care how good he is.
I think it's the second.
Man.
I think he is, he's good enough. He's good enough to get anything that he wants in out of basketball in his life. He's good enough to get certain level of money, certain level of respect, certain level of opportunity, and he's okay with that.
Yeah. 909-1320 is the phone lines. It doubles as the Mojo's local tap-in kitchen text line. We got some good ones going on over there. Again, 916-909-1320. Our man, Leezy. Leezy, what's up, baby?
Yo, D-Lo, KC, Jesse from the jump. Everybody in the chatty house, what's going on?
What's up, Leezy? H-A-L, what's up?
I'm feeling good. Hey, KC, Mr. Kenneth Caraway.
Wow.
I'm calling in today for a question for you, sir.
Wow.
KC, we coming for you.
Oh, jeez.
Jeez.
Sorry.
It's all right,
what's
Leezy?
Up, man? What's going on?
KC, I got a question. Now, you guys are talking that talk. You're talking about Fox and Halliburton. I know you always been more on the Fox side, but I got to ask. Between the two, we've seen their playoff runs. We've seen Tyrese's playoff run. We've seen De'Aaron's. Mm. I got to ask, I'm staying on subject here. Do you still think Fox is better than Halliburton? I know he's a scorer, but he don't show up in those big moments like Ty does.
I do think he's a slightly better player. He's a more talented player than Tyrese Halliburton. But I don't mean to play the fence, but they have pros and cons on both of their games. Like, De'Aaron Fox did just play in the finals, just like Tyrese Halliburton. And even before that, when he was with the Kings, like, he was going crazy in that Warriors series. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like he was a slouch. He was going crazy, broke his finger. Who knows how much of effect that had on the rest of the series. But he absolutely showed up in that moment at that time. So I don't want to make it like he doesn't deliver or can't deliver, because we did see him have a really good series there. But I think Tyrese Halliburton is a better leader, better passer. I think De'Aaron Fox is a better scorer and a better defender. So they both have pros and cons to their games.
Does that Pacers team get to the finals if you replace Halliburton with Fox?
I say no.
Probably not, but you guys know how I kind of feel about that Pacers run. I don't mean to take it away from them, and I'm not trying to, but there was a lot of fairy dust. There was a lot of fairy dust in that. Like,
I don't think
what happened with the Pacers isn't what the Knicks just did. The Knicks were just beating teams' ass. The Pacers were down by like 20 with 4 minutes to go five times and won those games.
Fox is talented, but I think I'd take Halliburton over him, because I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's another level, but there's just something there. Like I guess, like, maybe it is. Like, Halliburton can be the leader or whatever, but it's just, maybe it's an it factor, whatever it is. But there's just something, I think, that sets Halliburton a little bit apart from Fox.
I feel you on that. It also depends on my teammates.
I agreed with you, Kenny, for years. I agree with you, Jesse, now. I think Ty is a better basketball player. There are hills I'll always die on. And just ones that I won't anymore.
The Timberwolves, too. That's a hill you'll die on.
What, that they're not good? Yeah, forever.
Timberwolves.
Listen, I don't care if they've won two championships in a row. There's just something.
Chargers going for the three-peat. I don't believe them.
Yeah, please. The Chargers stink. The team's so goddamn overrated, I swear.
They weren't on that list of teams that can win.
That's right. They weren't. I checked the Mojo's local tap and kitchen text line here, and the first text I see, did you guys hear the steroids convo on the 1140 morning show when the producer insinuated that Damon should be tested?
Did not.
Do you know, it's the second time that producer has insinuated I take steroids.
I did not.
There's a hell of a first text to read here on the Mojo local tap and kitchen text line.
Oh, man. I
do love that I frequently come up on their show, though, even if it's for potential steroid abuse. We'll come back. Paul George remains the single most important player in the history of the NBA. God, we'll explain.
Damn,
why.
Paul. That's my boy. Damn.
Next. Can I do a callback? We got to go all the way back to the beginning of the show.
Okay.
We were talking about missing forks.
Yes.
From the Odyssey Studios. And I said I had received an anonymous text. Well,
how many of them at your house, man?
Four.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, look, the crazy thing about that, too, is, and like I said, I didn't know what house. I didn't know what was going on. I don't know nothing about that.
Everybody knew.
But part of that original text was, look, that doesn't happen. I only have one. Like, that's no. Like, that's no. You shouldn't have any.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Four is almost half.
I'm gonna be honest with you. When she said we have one, my immediate thought was, no, we don't. No, we don't. Because there's more than four forks that I don't recognize.
Dude, they're all at Damien's house right now, though.
First of all, that is very accusatory. It's possible.
Allegedly.
I'm gonna be honest. Everybody knew.
Well, we sniffed it out early. I said, yo, when something's going on in here, look in the mornings, man. Mm-hmm. I ain't saying one person because there's, once again, three people on one show, two on another.
It's one show for being real.
I don't know. I'm just saying the mornings, this stuff don't, well, because there's nobody here at this time, but this stuff don't happen in the evening.
It doesn't. That's right. No one's here. Well, we did have the moment where the kid was trying to make the perfect cup of coffee.
That was a classic. That was a classic. The kid was climbing or sliding across the counter. Another reason why we're not eating here. I don't know what happens around here, man.
Apparently on other radio stations this morning, Dave said he was working out a long time ago. These guys who worked out and he tried getting him to take steroids. Dave said, I would need to take it to get shredded like Damian Barling. I'm not saying he's taking steroids. The producer says, maybe not, but I'd at least like to see a test, though.
Pee in a cup.
Go pee in a cup and drop it off at 11:40. Here, pal. Here, pal. Get your test.
Oh, man.
That's incredible.
Absolutely
incredible.
Look, my man may or may not have been taking deer antler spray.
Oh, if I was taking deer antler spray, one, my body wouldn't hurt. I can't believe that was like what the hell is deer antler spray?
Who said this is what you need to do?
Who went to Ray Lewis and was like, hey, I know this sounds crazy. But I got the perfect thing to help you get through the season.
Deer antler spray is crazy. All right. They're clearing the cream, though.
I always said if I could afford it, I might do it. Because they said steroids, that feels like Arnold Schwarzenegger and pumping iron. Like, give me HGH. Like, it's 2026. Yeah. Give me the stuff to where at 46, I don't hurt anymore. Give me that.
Where was Bonds? Allegedly, yeah, just.
There's just a little cologne. Little cologne right there on the forearms. Get things going. That's it, man. Victor Conti, he's within earshot, or was.
I like the burn. I like the feel. Like, it lets me know I'm doing my job. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do when there's soreness. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I like that. That's sweet, honey. Like, yeah. I don't need that anymore.
Like, oh, okay. I'm stiff.
Oh, man. I thought I just killed off Victor Conti. He passed away several years ago. I thought he did. I wasn't 100% positive.
We're still good.
He, in fact, did. No, we're safe. We're safe. Still he passed good. Away in 2025.
Well, that was last year.
Well, that's right. That's true.
I thought it was going to say 2022 or something. No. It was
actually,
close.
Actually, he passed away about 8 months ago.
R.I.P., man. R.I.P.
This isn't funny. This isn't funny by any stretch of the imagination. I always thought Victor Conti was a genius. Underappreciated.
You're just ahead of the game.
He was ahead of the curve.
He was.
Because there's about a million more Victor Contis now who exist because of this Victor Conti.
They couldn't catch him. What was the first one? It was Balco, obviously, but was it Bonds or was it A-Rod?
Was it Marion Jones?
Oh, it might have been Marion Jones. That's a good call.
I can't remember if Marion Jones was before or after.
I think she was first.
Okay.
I think she was first.
I mean, poor her. Like, she lost everything. Yeah. No, I feel like Barry was before
A-Rod.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably was. I think it went Marion Jones and Bonds.
Mm.
As far as connection to Balco.
Didn't Barry's... God, I haven't revisited this story in so long. Didn't Barry... Didn't his trainer go to jail?
Yeah, because he wouldn't speak.
He wouldn't testify, right?
He was in jail for, I want to say, 14 months.
Wonder if Al Biakani would go to jail for me.
He said, "You're on your own, Bubba."
That's exactly what he said. He'd call the police over, like, "Hey, come here. Investigators, come here. Sit down. Let me walk you through. Let me walk you through how we did this." You see him? He's already posted videos of beating them boys' ass over there.
Yeah. No, they better. They already. He was not happy with how things went last year.
Not at all. He's, man. Hey, shout out. What's, ain't gonna be a better conditioned team in all of the conference than Sac State.
You know what's dope though about Al and just like the way he's able to connect is, you know, he just, you know, has these dudes going crazy right now. You see the videos, and they love him. Like, I've been around Al when these kids mm-hmm. are like 19, 20 years old, and they come over and they joke with him. He jokes with them. It's all love. Like, that, I think that's dope for the kids to still have, the young men, mm-hmm. to still have a level of reverence for, you know, an OG like Al, mm-hmm. and he's running him through everything, and they, you know, they deal with it and still show love and listen to him and respect. I just think that's cool for Al, a guy who's seen it all and worked with everybody on every level.
Couldn't even venture a guess how old Al is.
I couldn't either.
I just know he'll beat your ass and mine too, and then laugh while he's doing it.
He said, "Oh,
come on for a workout.
You coming over?
No, you little bitch, come on." and then that's when it, like, he'll voice his voice. No, come on.
He said, "Look, today's your lucky day. I got some fifth graders that I'm working out too. I'll put you with them.
I'll put you with them. Yeah, no, the fifth grade girls. Go ahead." Go ahead. Shout out to Mike. He's been loyal to Al. Like, they've worked together since, you know, Mike came to Sacramento. Yeah, I mean, and Al's been, you know, that's what I said. We talked about this with Jake and Brandon on CBS 13 last night for Sports Sunday from a football perspective. But, like, you know, I don't have good feelings about, you know, the chances of the football team succeeding. I know you kind of mentioned that earlier. I feel like it's kind of the similar boat with basketball. Like, there's a lot of turnover. I'm glad, like, Mikey's coming back, and I think he's got a couple of other guys who are back with him. But at some point, you got to establish a team, right? And again, if nothing else, Mike's team is going to be conditioned. Like, they're going to be out there. Sure. They're going to be able to run. Yeah. They're going to be able to get up and down the floor.
Yeah.
Whether they're going to be able to win basketball games, that's going to be another. It's going to be another conversation.
Man, I think about that. You know, when you bring it up, because you're correct. But I don't even know how that happens in college sports no more.
Yeah, it's true.
The Michigan Wolverines don't even have. They won the championship. Mm-hmm. And they had guys that could have – had a couple guys that came back. But then their coach leaves.
Right. Yeah, right.
Coach Cal, like, obviously it's by design with, like, the freshman he always gets, but completely different. In Sac State and other schools on that level are in a position where – say Sac State has a great year this year, and Mikey averages 20, and Larry Hughes Jr. averages 18. Those guys are probably going to leave.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't even know how that works. And until they change the rules, I don't even know how that works anymore.
And I don't think we're anywhere near a rule change. Yeah. We should probably stop trading Paul George, too, because it seems to be monumental every time it happens.
Can we get him to trade him?
Well, that would be when it runs out. That's when the single most important player in the history of the NBA would run out. Of course, his trade lineage has led to the Pacers going to the finals. It's led to the Oklahoma City Thunder winning a championship. And it is universally acknowledged by everyone involved, from Bob Myers to Rich Paul, that the 76ers became a contender to land LeBron James after they traded Paul George for Jaylen Brown.
Wow.
Essentially, if you convince yourself, and I've always fought this, but if you convince yourself that big deal that the Los Angeles Clippers made was to not just acquire Paul George, but it was to acquire Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, mm-hmm. then I'm going to make the argument that Paul George was traded for Jaylen Brown and LeBron James.
Look, you probably wouldn't be wrong.
And you can't convince me I'm wrong in that regard.
Wouldn't be wrong. That, I guess that's the one team it didn't work out for is the Clippers. He left there and went to Philly.
No. Yeah, it usually works out for the team he's leaving.
Yeah, he left the Clippers, and they ain't done nothing.
Yet.
True. Well, when they lose their franchise, then that'll...
That's right. when it's just the Intuit Dome that's left housing concerts. Who knows?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. That's
Jay
crazy.
Jay added a second night at SoFi, by the way.
I did see that. I make that move down there,
it's
man.
Not a, a tough ticket.
It's not. It started off as tough.
Mm-hmm. Cooled off after what happened the third night in New York.
Well, there's that. And also the R&B tour. Check your dates. Check your dates to see if you're getting Chris Brown or not.
Oh, that story was fake.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
So there was a story that Chris Brown's going to miss like half of the R&B tour. He's not. He pleaded
guilty
or no contest. Like maybe it was both. I don't think he's missing any of the. He's not missing any of the tour.
That's glad to hear that.
Yeah, that was.
Because I was like, how's that supposed to work?
You got that counts as chatty. House.
Well,
you
well,
got
no,
fooled,
because
no,
the
you
actual
got fooled by the internet. You got fooled by the internet.
The actual story of him pleading guilty is what I would. That's a half.
Zero.
That's a half.
No, man, you got fooled by the internet again.
That's a half.
It is true. He pled guilty, but he's not missing. The reason he pled guilty is because
He wouldn't miss.
Yeah, he didn't miss anything.
Yeah,
I know exactly where you saw it because I saw the same post too, and I thought, wait a second.
I said,
quick Google search.
I said, "There's a." Well, yeah, I think I was in the car. With no time for no Google search. Says, "Oh, that's interesting. Let me keep it moving."
Never. Nobody has been fooled by the internet's gonna do Kenny Caraway in one day, man. It's just gonna be, hey, how come Casey didn't come in today? Man, you know where there that post was about the sky was gonna collapse.
Oh, did you see the post where it said it's a 3-day work week? It's official in America.
Casey said, I'll see you on Wednesday. Paul George traded for Jaylen Brown and LeBron James. It's speculation, like we talked about the fallout, the LeBron James deal for the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. The fallout with the Cleveland Cavaliers is interesting because their fallout has been a little bit different. Obviously, they're in a far better basketball position than the Golden State Warriors are, but there's a lot of like what if type of speculation going on about, you know, Garland, and if you remember the whiteboard, Garland not being there was a big negative. There was speculation that Cleveland was involved in the Jaylen Brown conversations and eventually took themselves out of it. And we've, you know, did that involve Evan Mobley? Like, what did that do? But there's a lot coming out of Cleveland right now that, had they landed Jaylen Brown, perhaps they would have also landed LeBron James.
Yeah, and from what I could gather, one of the reasons why they didn't land Jaylen Brown is because they had Evan Mobley as an untouchable. And that's
a problem.
Yeah, that was somebody that Boston would have considered doing the deal for, or maybe would have done the deal for. I'm you know, kind of harsh when it comes to Evan Mobley. He's a really good basketball player. He's not this bad basketball player. So I don't want to make it feel like I'm continuously talking about, you know, he's bad or he's overrated. But he wouldn't be a guy in a Jaylen Brown conversation that I'd say, no, I have to hold on to. We're not even having a conversation starter, especially when I have Jared Allen sitting right there as well. I still got another big to have if I move on from Evan Mobley. So, yeah, that's tough. Sorry, I was distracted because there's a black squirrel
Oh, why has it got to be a black squirrel? Well, why is it always the black squirrels causing problems?
Because he is black. He's a black squirrel. And he's stuck at the Tigers game on the warm-up
I have
track.
Never seen that in my life. That is a Mark Henry level black squirrel.
And they're trying to say
that's why is that how squirrels run? Yeah. This thing is just hopping around the warning track. And can we not play baseball with a squirrel on the warning track?
I don't know if I want to.
Well, what's the squirrel going to do? He's going to run away from you.
He might come bite me. I'm standing up.
This is hilarious.
Last time we played baseball with an animal on the field, Randy Johnson killed it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, to be fair, that animal wasn't on the field. It was in the
field. Hovering around.
He opens the door. Now, what the hell is this guy's job? He's just sitting here with the outfit. There's a staring contest.
What does he think is going to happen?
There's a staring contest. How did they just leave this? There was a staring contest between the old man and the black squirrel. I bet that old man was saying some nasty things to that black squirrel.
Called that squirrel out of his name.
He called that black squirrel some terrible names.
What do you think will happen? The squirrel's just going to go back?
I can't believe ESPN left that.
No, they tripping.
I can't believe they just left the squirrel standoff. They're doing some sort of wraparound coverage. This is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, because the Reds and the Indians are supposed to be the game, and they got rained out.
I don't care. Go back to the squirrel.
That's what I want to see. I want to see Braves Mets right now. Mets are the second worst team in baseball behind the Giants. Giants won 2 out of 3 over the weekend. And they had a walk-off win on Friday. And I watched that game, and I was like, this would be really cool if they were a good team.
You still got that MLB pass thing? Can you pull up the squirrel?
I didn't get it this
year.
Is
it over? Wow. You're not even a fan, bro.
Didn't get it this year.
Wow. You call yourself a baseball guy. No wonder they say we don't talk baseball on this station. We don't even get MLB hit.
I said I can get MLB Network on my Prime subscription, and there's a national TV game every day.
There's a lot of baseball.
Plus, I get Giants.
Too bad we won't know how the squirrel story ends.
He's probably just still standing at that, looking at
that
guy.
I guarantee you that old white man is still staring at that black squirrel. I guarantee it.
All right, this is at the end of this inning. They better go back to Detroit now. Live coverage. Oh my gosh. Miami, bro. Who cares?
Oh,
bro?
Man. What a.
The Marlins are like the worst team in baseball. Outside of the A's in the last 5 weeks.
Fumble. Catastrophic fumble by ESPN.
But
now none of us will know what happened to the squirrel.
No. But we do know that Brad Stevens served up Jaylen Brown to the Sixers, which served up LeBron James to the Sixers. The Cavs, I would have made Evan Mobley available at the very least.
If I think I would have made Evan Mobley available for Jaylen Brown.
Yes.
Without the thought of LeBron James.
Building your basketball.
Yeah, in hindsight, it's way worse because you feel like, well, if they landed LeBron with Jaylen, we've got like Donovan, Jared Allen, we got.
Do you think about those things if you're a GM? Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, Brad Stevens should never have traded him to the Sixers just in general, right? Off the rivalry and all this other stuff. And just it was a bad deal. But, like, man, if we trade Jaylen to the Sixers, that may open up the door for LeBron or I'm just throwing out a name, Giannis, to be able to come. Like, do you think about that potential next move and that possibly keeping you from making that deal that's right in front of you?
If you're Brad, can you worry about that?
Probably not.
Like, how much do you think Bob Myers in that? We keep talking about Bob Myers like he's the general manager. He's the new Pat
Jameer
Riley.
Nelson. Who's like this?
Who's also not the general manager.
It's like this. What's it, Getsy or?
Yeah. I don't know how much they thought, hey, if we land Jaylen, we can land LeBron. Mm. I feel more like they landed Jaylen and thought, yo, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Like, why not? If you're Cleveland, I feel like you had to have thought, hey, if we land Jaylen Brown and go get LeBron James, mm-hmm. We're entering the season with Donovan Mitchell, Jared Allen, James Harden. Yeah, we're in a really, like, if you're, I feel like if you're Cleveland, you have to think about that ahead of time.
Right.
Philly, I can't imagine that they did. I feel like Philly literally did the deal and thought, yo, why not? Mm-hmm. Like, let's do it. I read something, and again, the massive, you know, influx of articles that has come out. The Bob Myers' appearance on the podcast mm-hmm. was booked apparently months in advance. Mm-hmm. It was just coincidental how it all played out. And they actually strategized as to how to handle it. And I think it was Bob, because it, like, every piece about Bob Myers right now is glowing, and rightfully so, was the one who was like, let's go for it. And they were debating whether it's like public groveling or just smart strategy.
Yeah.
And Bob was like, I have an opportunity to pitch our team to him directly to his agent with the world watching. Like, why wouldn't we take that?
That's smart.
They did it. And they did it.
That's why he's not Mike Dunleavy.
There's a million reasons that he's not Mike Dunleavy. But it, and you know, they'll continue to be as the, you know, the NBA offseason isn't really winding down. There's still a lot more, you know, there's still a lot. DeMar DeRozan, there's a Jonathan Kuminga situation that got to be resolved. There's a Jalen Duren situation that we didn't even talk about that I don't exactly know where that's going, but this could be a little bit drawn out of a long drawn out process. The season isn't winding down, and there will be more conversations about the fallout of LeBron signing with Philadelphia and the effect that that could have on a number of these teams. And I think this is something we could talk about tomorrow. But, like, is this it for Cleveland? Like, what we have right now this season, is that it? What if Miami is closer to what James and I think versus what you think? Mm-hmm. Like, then what? And then there's Steph.
I never got your thoughts. You think he's going to leave at some point?
Tune in tomorrow to find out. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But God bless it. I don't blame him if he does.
I didn't. Some of the terminology, the quotes, I never heard that.
I'll say this. It's starting to sound different. Mm-hmm. It's starting to sound different. And we're back to sounding normal. We're happy that you're here with us. We'll see you tomorrow morning beginning at 7 a.m. with the Jump, Kyle Matson, and Jesse Tapia here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Black Squirrels.